I offer my most loving, reverential and prayerful pranams at the lotus feet of my divine Lord and Master, Bhagwan Shri Satya Sai Baba. Distinguished guests, respected elders, dear brothers and sisters, on behalf of Sri Satya Sai Seva Organizations India, I welcome you all here in the Sai Kulwant Hall with a loving Sai Ram and to an evening which is going to add a golden chapter in the chronicles of Sri Satya Sai Seva Organizations in India. And let me tell you, this is not going to be an ordinary chapter. Once, Bhagwan was asked, Swami, how can we love God? To this question, Swami replied, in order to love God, you have to follow His message. If you don't follow His message, your love is not love. It is limited, or it just remains as a mere liking. So, in order to love God, dear brothers and sisters, it is important to follow His message in our daily lives. And in order to follow His message, we need to know His message. And in order to know His message, we have to do the swadhyaya of His message. We all know that Swami has delivered around more than 2,500 discourses which are publicly available. But one rare phenomenon has happened in the life of this avatar, where the avatar himself has written his message in a very succinct form for the entire mankind for their redemption. And this message is contained in the 15 vahinis which Swami wrote with his own hands. These vahinis, dear brothers and sisters, are not ordinary one. These vahinis are the ambrosia, which is the reliever of all types of spiritual ailments. And this evening, dear brothers and sisters, is totally centered upon the Satya Sai vahinis. We begin the proceedings of this evening with the procession song on these vahinis as a mark of our dedication, our gratitude to Swami for gifting us this unique ambrosia. And this song is accompanied by a song in Hindi entitled Shri Satya Sai Vahini Mahima, which brings out or sings the essence of each and every vahini. Jai Sai Ram.
Thank you.
साई तेरी वाहिनी है ये मुक्ति दायिनी. आई एम रिमाइंडेड ऑफ अ दोहा फ्रॉम संत कबीर दास. ही सेड, ज्यो तिल माही तेल है, ज्यो चकमक में आग, तेरा साई तुझ में है, जाग सके तो जाग. एज देर इज ऑयल इन द सेसमे सीड्स, एज देर इज एन एलिमेंट ऑफ फायर इन ऑल ब्राइटनेस, योर साई इज विद इन यू. अवेकन योर सेल्फ, अवेकन योर सेल्फ, अवेकन योर सेल्फ. एंड दिस इज द पर्पज फॉर विच भगवान इनकार्नेटेड ऑन द फेस ऑफ दिस अर्थ. एंड इन ऑर्डर फॉर अस टू रियलाइज आवर सेल्व्स, ही अंडरगॉन द पेन ऑफ राइटिंग दीज वाइनीज बाय हिज ओन हैंड्स. सहज करे उपचार ये मानव के निर्वाण का, आत्मज्ञान की ज्योत जलाए और जलाए दीप प्रज्ञान का. दीज वाहिनीज मेक्स आवर पाथ टू आवर ओन सेल्फ ईजियर बाय लाइटिंग एंड इग्नाइटिंग द लैंप ऑफ सेल्फ नॉलेज विद इन अस. एंड टू एलुसिडिएट, टू एनलाइटन अस टूडे ऑन दीज वाहिनीज विच आर द रेयर गिफ्ट फॉर मैनकाइंड, आई हैव द प्रिविलेज ऑफ इन्वाइटिंग श्री संजय सहानी. श्री संजय सहानी is an alumnus of Sri Satyasai Institute of Higher Learning. He was a student of the first batch of the 5-year integrated commerce program from 1982 to 1987. He won the gold medal for academic excellence both for his bachelor's of commerce as well as for master's of commerce programs. He then joined the Sri Satyasai Institute of Higher Learning as a faculty member in the Department of Commerce in 1987. He subsequently served as a warden of the senior boys hostel at Prashanthi Nilayam campus from 1990 to 1993 before moving to the Vrindavan campus, where he was a faculty member of the Department of Commerce. In 2002, he assumed the role of director of Vrindavan campus. Currently, he is serving as the third controller of examinations of the university since January 2016. Shri Sanjay Sahani sir.
Offering my loving pranams at Bhagwan's lotus feet, revered elders, brothers and sisters, and delegates to the All India Conference of the Sri Satya Sai Seva Organization. We are here today in this beautiful Sai Kulwant Hall for a session dedicated to a facet of Bhagwan's life and work which is not given so much attention as many other aspects. Bhagwan, in his own life, with his own hands, wrote 15 books called the Vahini series, and this session is dedicated to understand the significance of Swadhyaya of the Vahinis. It was Shivratri 1970, Bhagwan declared, Aham Satya Bodhakaha. Among the myriad professions in the world, he identified himself as a teacher of truth. His first recorded public discourse in Dasara 1953 is documented in the first volume of Sathya Sai Speaks, where he laid out the roadmap of his entire life. He said, the first 16 years are characterized by leelas, divine pranks. The next 16 years by mahimas, mind-boggling miracles. And thereafter, you will find me engage more and more as a teacher giving upadesha. And so it was the 32nd year of Bhagwan's life, 1958. He made the sankalpa to announce himself as the world Jagat Guru. Right from here, Prashanta Nilayam, he launched a monthly journal which he called Sanatan Sarathi. The story of the Vahinis is very closely interlinked with the story of the birth of Sanatan Sarathi. When I remember the name Sanatan Sarathi, a beautiful episode comes to my mind. Many of us have visited the bhajan hall here in the mandir. At the rear end of the bhajan hall, we have this beautiful scene depicted as the Gitopdesha. But many of us may not know how this whole scene got sculpted. When the Shilpi was given the assignment and he started his work, we are told that many a time Bhagwan would drop in and a chair would be kept near the entrance door to the bhajan hall on the gent side. Swami would ask the doors to be locked from inside and he would sit on the chair and he would give personal directions to the Shilpi. Many a time even demonstrating his facial features, how Arjuna's face should look, how Krishna's face should look. Arjuna is worried. Krishna is the picture of serenity and equanimity and anandam. Swami demonstrated on his face for the Shilpi to sculpt it. And that Sanatan Sarathi wrote for 26 long years, every month, an article for all of us. I was just thinking, why should we read the Sanatans, the Vahinis? They were initially articles in the Sanatan Sarathi. Later on they got serialized as books and they are 15 in number. And this thought came to me. We say that we are Indians, those of us who live in India. Are we Indians because we reside in India? Or are we Indians because India resides in us? Are we, say, Sai students because we study in Sai educational institutions? Are we Sai workers because we serve in the Sathya Sai organization? Or are we Sai students or Sai workers or Sai devotees because Sai lives in us? Think for a while. And if it is true that we are Sai's people because Sai lives in us, how does he live in us? He lives in us in the form of his name and form which we contemplate upon. He lives in us when we contemplate on the message which he gave us and we embody that message and integrate it with our daily life. Then we can say that yes, we are Sai's people. And for that, we have to do manana, contemplation on that message. And that message is documented in the Vahinis. Many years ago, Swami wrote to Kasturi a beautiful poem. It is going to be sung at the end of today's program. And though Telugu is not a language of which I am so familiar with, but I am tempted to read out a few lines, because these lines were written by Swami to Kasturiji describing the five Vahinis which had been written till then. Anandam, Anandam. Swami is declaring to the world, do you know the Vahinis? Anandam, Anandam. He is speaking from that pedestal of divinity which is Sat Chit Ananda. Anandamu Totidi Anandam. Anandamu Totidi E Andam. Beauty is associated with bliss, and bliss is associated with beauty. Prema Vahiniye Mudata Anandam. I read somewhere a translation of this line. Prema Vahini is the first gift of Anandam. And immediately these lines came to me. One day Swami was speaking to one of our elders, or he was speaking in Swami's presence in Trai Vrindavan. And he said, talent is a gift of God. And immediately Swami corrected him. Talent is not a gift of God. Talent is God. So when I read this translation, Prema Vahini is the first gift of Anandam, I remembered this line of Swami and I said, Prema Vahini is not the gift of Anandam. Prema Vahini is the first manifestation of Bhagwan's Anandam, which he distributed for all of us to taste and to relish. Dhyana Vahini Pidapa Anandam. The next Vahini which comes is the Dhyana Vahini. Mudava Vahini Munchuka Parenu Ashanta Haramai Prashanti Vahini. The third Vahini came overflowing. Overflowing the banks. Have you seen a river? Have you seen a flood? In that kind of a flow has come the Prashanti Vahini. For what? To destroy the restlessness of the mind of man. To destroy the restlessness in the mind of man. So when I read this, I said, this is a wonderful opportunity. Do you aspire to be a shareholder of Bhagwan's Anandam? If yes, do the Swadhyaya of the Vahinis, because the Vahini is a manifestation, the physical manifestation of his Anandam. The way these Vahinis were written, if we read the writings of Kasturiji, and as I was going through some of the episodes which he narrated, this thought came to me that Vahini is verily the modern Veda, because it's an emanation from Bhagwan. It was the turn of the Upanishad Vahini series, which was being published in the Sanatan Sarthi. On the 16th of every month, Kasturiji, after dispatching both the Telugu and English versions of the Sanatan Sarthi, he would rush to Swami. And it was the turn of the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. He came to Swami for the next month's article, and Swami was not ready. You know, like a student who has to submit a home assignment and he's not ready. And she'll sit in the room. I'll come back in a few minutes. So Swami crossed the veranda from the bedroom And there was the room on this side, on the eastern side, there was a table and a chair, and Swami sat, and Kasturiji saw non-stop for 40 minutes, Swami wrote. And at the end of 40 minutes, Kasturiji had the proud privilege of carrying the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, which is the biggest and the most profound Upanishad among the all the Upanishads in the Vedas. And he said, when he looked into a line in the particular essay that Swami had written, he said, the grandeur of the intellect of sage Yajnavalkya is documented in this particular Upanishad. And Kasturiji said, for me, the grandeur of the omniscient teacher that Bhagwan is was peeping out from every line of that particular Upanishad. On another occasion, late Sri G.V. Subba Rao, head of the energy division of the United Nations organization, was upstairs with Swami. And Swami was discoursing to him on the Taittiriya Upanishad. And Kasturiji again comes to Swami. Swami, the Sanatan Sarthi has to go for print and your article has to be published. Please give me your article for the Sanatan Sarthi. And Swami was busy discoursing on Taittiriya Upanishad to see G.V. Subba Rao Garu. To save time, Swami waved his hand and out came that month's edition of the Sanatan Sarthi. So, the Vahini is an emanation. It's an emanation of Bhagwan, and therefore when we read the Vahinis, it is basically we are drinking in, we are soaking in the Veda that is Bhagwan's breath. I will not take too much time, but one thought which came to me as I was contemplating on this Vahinis which Swami has written. Many a times people ask, has Swami told his students anything on this particular subject? Because students were very dear to Bhagwan. So has Swami told or Swami initiated anything on the Vahinis with respect to the students? And as I was contemplating on this, this particular thought and experience came back to me after many, many decades. The university was not even 2 years old. I was a second year undergraduate student in the institute here. And suddenly we got a message that at Swami's instance, there is going to be a spiritual study circle which we are starting in the Prashantliam campus. And because Swami had initiated it, so many of us were so interested. And the theme for the study circle, incidentally, was chosen to be the Vahinis. And so every Sunday, we used to assemble in the college foyer, and there will be two students who will be assigned a particular Vahini. They will read the Vahini. They will make their, share their thoughts on the Vahini reading. And then there will be a deliberation on the Vahinis by all the students and elders. And after the session got over, the elders would report to Swami, Swami, this is what has happened. And Swami would so inquisitively ask, who said what? What was X's opinion, Y's opinion? What did you say? And sometimes he would tell his own opinion. My opinion, this is my view on this particular subject. But the most beautiful aspect of that whole year study circle was, in the month of April, suddenly the students who had spoken in the study circle got a message from their study circle coordinator, all of you should assemble in the bhajan hall. It was Ugadi Day, 2nd of April, 1984. And we had no clue why we have been summoned to the bhajan hall. And we came there, and after a few minutes Swami came, and there was a mic kept next to Swami. Swami was standing next to his chair in the bhajan hall. And one by one, each student's name was read out. He would go to Swami. He would take Padmanabhaskar. And Swami gifted to each student speaker of that year's study circle on the Vahinis a book of Satyam Shivam Sundaram, volume 4. It was a totally unexpected gift from Swami's hands. We opened the book. There was, of course, presented to so-and-so for his presentation on this Vahini, whatever. The next surprise, there was a beautiful message from the author of Satyam Shivam Sundaram, Kasturi Ji. He had written a small message for each one of the student participants. But the most precious possession for all the students was on the first page of the Satyam Shivam Sundaram. We opened that page and you know what we found there? With love, Baba. So if people were to ask me, what has Swami told his students about the Vahinis? He said, I feel if you want to be a shareholder of Bhagwan's prema, read the Vahinis. With these few words, permit me to take leave. There are many other speakers to share many more wonderful thoughts on this very beautiful heritage of humanity, and that is the Vahini series of books. Jai Sai Ram.
Thank you so much, sir, for that wonderful elucidation on the Vahinis and the essence and the Mahima. Dear brothers and sisters, avatar is itself a very, very rare phenomenon. And rarer than that is the opportunity to be born during the lifetime of an avatar. And even rarer than that is the opportunity of being chosen as an instrument by the avatar himself. And this is the time to talk about one such prime instrument of Bhagwan who he himself chose, and he is none other than Professor N. Kasturi. To talk on Professor N. Kasturi, the chosen one, I have the privilege of inviting Dr. Srinivas Sri Rangarajan, who hails from Karnataka. He completed his bachelor's in engineering and joined the Sri Satisai Institute of Higher Learning for his master's in business administrations, and he completed that in 1992. At the command of our beloved Lord, he thereafter joined as a faculty member in the Department of Management and Commerce and taught in the MBA program since 1992. He holds a doctorate in management in the area of spirituality at workplace. He has held the position of the Controller of Examinations for the Sri Satisai Institute of Higher Learning from 2009 to 2015. Thereafter, he held the position of the Director of the Vrindavan Campus of the Sri Satisai Institute of Higher Learning up to July 2019. Currently, he serves as the Associate Professor in the same Department of Management and Commerce. Importantly, he has been the architect of the awareness programs conducted by the Institute for the past 2 decades. He has inspired several generations of students who passed through the portals of this esteemed institute. I have now the privilege of inviting Dr. Srinivas Sri Rangarajan.
Pronounce that Bhagwan's lotus feet. Respected elders and dear brothers and sisters, we have just heard from our brother Sanjay Sahani sir how we are the recipients of this priceless treasure of the Vahinis gifted to us by Bhagwan. But the story cannot be complete unless we express our gratitude to the instrument who brought these messages to us. Yes, I'm referring to Professor Narayan Kasturi, who was the chosen one who brought these compilations of the Vahinis, the Satya Sai Speaks, and most importantly, as the biographer of Bhagwan Baba, he captured the infinite glory of Bhagwan in the finite pages of Satyam Shivam Sundaram. Talking of instrument, let me narrate a wonderful experience that I, as a student, along with my other classmates, had in the year, somewhere in the early 90s. The MBA students were all huddled up in the interview room, and typically, as Bhagwan would ask, he said, "What do you want?" Trained as we were by Bhagwan, everybody had a similar answer. They said, "Swami, we want you." I thought of trying something little different, and I said, "Bhagwan, I want to be your instrument." It sounded nice, so the other students after me also started saying, "Swami, I want to be your instrument, I want to be your instrument." Swami looked very amused, and then he looked at us and said, "That is my job, sir." And then he lifted his finger and he pointed to all of us, "You're my instrument, you're my instrument, you're my instrument." And it went in a circle, and finally it came to his own form. He said, "This is also my instrument." And we were stunned. "Bhagwan, then who are you?" That is Bhagwan. He is the one residing in all of us, doing everything and allowing us to take the credit as his instruments. In this sense, we owe our gratitude to Professor Kasturi ji, who brought these great Vahinis to all of us. He brought this wonderful spiritual message for the entire humanity. Bhagwan himself gave a lot of importance to instruments. Just to quote an instance, this very hall where we are seated, he named it Kulwant Hall after the senior devotee Sri Kulwant Roy, who made this offering to Bhagwan. Swami gave the name of the instrument to every work of his, to every edifice of his, and therefore definitely we owe our gratitude to Professor Kasturi. Let us know something about him. Professor Kasturi was born on 25th December 1897 in North Travancore, then a part of Kerala. And he completed his graduation in law, post-graduation in arts. And in the year 1928, he worked as a faculty member in the Maharaja Arts College, which was affiliated to the Mysore University. And at that time, he came into contact with several spiritual masters, Sri Meher Baba, Sri Ramana Maharishi, and he was initiated into meditation by Sri Mahapurushji, who was a disciple of Sri Ramakrishna Paramahamsa. But he came and met Bhagwan, or saw Bhagwan for the first time in the year 1948. In this very first meeting, Swami told him, "Kasturi, after retirement, you come and stay with me. You can write my story." So this came as a very great surprise, and Kasturi ji said, "Swami, me?" Swami said, "Yes, I will help you. I will tell you whom to contact, whom to converse with." And then it just ended over there. 1949, he went to Davangere in Karnataka and became the principal of the intermediate college over there. He then retired from there in 1954, when Bhagwan suggested that he go on a North Indian pilgrimage tour to North India with his wife and his mother. He did that. Again in 1956, Swami insisted that he should take up the post of the producer of the All India Radio station, which had just then been established in Bangalore. And very hesitantly he took it up because he was waiting for Swami to call him. And finally it was in 1958, when Bhagwan met him in the house of Mr. Vittal Rao in Bangalore. Swami looked at him and said, "Kasturi, now you come to Puttaparthi. We are starting a monthly magazine. And Swami said, do you know what is the name of this magazine? We know Swami's enthusiasm. Kasturi ji was very nervous. He said, how can I guess a name? He said, no, Swami. Swami said, no, you tell. So very hesitantly, he made few suggested names like Karma Dharma, Prema Yoga, the Godward Path. And then Swami was satisfied. All that is over. He said, no, this will be called Sanatana Sarathi, the eternal charioteer. That is how Professor Kasturi became the very first editor of the Sanatana Sarathi, starting with the Prema Vahini series on 16th February 1958, which happened to be Mahashivratri in that year. Incidentally, Professor Kasturi held many other positions. He became the first canteen in charge. He became the first accommodation officer in charge. He became the township chairman. He became the first postmaster. And in spite of all this, he had the time to compile all the wonderful message of Bhagwan into the various gifts we have, the Vahinis, the Satya Sai Speaks, and Satyam Shivam Sundaram. In fact, it is in these magazines that Bhagwan wrote his articles month after month, as Sahani sir mentioned. In fact, it's a world record of its kind, wherein one author has written non-stop for 26 long years, starting from 1958 to 1984, precisely 318 articles, non-stop. That is the wonderful gift we have with us today. At this juncture, I am reminded of the composition of the Mahabharata. When Lord Brahma first inspired sage Vedavyasa to write the Mahabharata, he was overwhelmed. He said, Lord, it's so complex, so long, and who will scribe it? Because somebody who has to match the pace at which Vyasa would compose it. Lord Brahma again inspired him. He said, you go to Lord Ganesha. Lord Ganesha immediately agreed with a very amusing condition, as we know. He said, I will do it, but you must narrate it non-stop. If you have a break at any point, I will just go away and no more write the Mahabharata. And then began the wonderful race. Sage Vyasa kept narrating continuously. Lord Ganesha was scribing continuously. And at one point, when the pen which Ganesha used to write broke, he just broke one of his tusks and started writing because there was no time to fetch a pen. In this way, in 3 long years, the Mahabharata was composed. What a striking resemblance to our Vahini series. On one side, we had Bhagwan, who non-stop wrote month after month for 26 years. And on the other side, we had Professor Kasturi, who non-stop kept compiling this. In fact, transcribed the articles into Telugu, translated them into English for the purpose of the English version of the magazine, and ensured it reached all the subscribers in time. Had any other person in the world written such profound articles in Telugu, they would have chosen a great Telugu Pandit for transcribing and translating the articles. And our Lord, as we know, is always so mysterious. What did he do? He chose Professor Kasturi, a doyen in English, but knew not one word of Telugu. This is Bhagwan's miracle. After Professor Kasturi settled in Prashanti Nilayam, he learned Telugu. With that knowledge, he transcribed Bhagwan's articles word by word. He translated it into English. In fact, in his room, I'm given to understand there were just 2 stools. On one stool was a typewriter, and on one stool Professor Kasturi would sit. He did not know typing. Just imagine the labor of love. He has typed all this with the 2-finger typing. And even when a better chair was given to him after a few years, he refused to take the chair. This shows how much of dedication, how much of commitment goes into bringing this gift to us. And when Bhagwan wills something, once his blessing is there on the instrument, with his will and the instrument's grace, everything becomes possible. Bhagwan was a very hard taskmaster. Every month he would call Professor Kasturi on a prefixed date. And like an ideal author would do, Swami would proofread the articles. And then very lovingly he would correct Professor Kasturi, this is wrong, this is wrong. And Professor Kasturi's mother would be sitting there and she would pray to Swami, Swami, please pardon him, please forgive him. And once Bhagwan would clear the magazine, it would go to the press for printing. There was a press in the ashram set up for this purpose. Professor Kasturi would go there, and there was a man by name Narsimhachari, one man press. And he would print all these magazines, and Professor Kasturi would help him and keep singing bhajans, and that is how this prasadam would get ready. But though the post office where it had to be dispatched was there in Prashanthi Nilayam, the machine that would trim the pages at the corners was available only in Bangalore. So Professor Kasturi, in his yet one more wonderful book, Loving God, describes the running around that they would do to get this book ready. He says that first he would pack all these printed books in Telugu and English into two huge boxes, and it would go to Bukapatnam in a bullock cart. Then from Bukapatnam it would be loaded onto a bus to Penukunda. It would reach Penukunda railway station about 300 yards away, and there was one porter by name Narsappa. Incidentally, it's all N. Narsappa, Narsimhachari, Narayan Kasturi. So it's the 3N trio. So Narsappa would unload all this from the bus, take it to the railway station. Then by train it would go to Bangalore. In Bangalore it would again be loaded into horse carriages. He would then take it to a press which had this trimming machine. They would trim all the pages, and same evening he would rush to the house of one devotee in the heart of the city, and he and a dozen young volunteers would pack all this into the wrappers with the labels that he would have taken here from Prashanthi Nilayam. And rest of the night, for a few hours, they would capture some sleep, and next morning, once again, the same up and down, they would come back to the station, and then from the station to Penukonda, once again on the bus, and once again to Bukapatnam, again the bullock cart, and then finally straight to the post office for dispatch to over 3,000 subscribers at that point of time. See the labor of love. This happened month after month, year after year, 26 long years. How lucky we are. How profound the wisdom which are there in these wonderful vahinis. Bhagwan can do anything himself, there is no doubt. But yet we know the way Bhagwan works, his modus operandi. He always uses an instrument. There is no doubt that we all are instruments of Bhagwan, but as even the introducer said, lucky are those instruments who are chosen for such a massive and a noble task. Whenever we think of the Ramayana, sage Tulsidas, sage Valmiki, automatically come to mind. You cannot separate Valmiki, Tulsidas from Ramayana. When you think of Bhagavatam and Mahabharata, you just cannot remove sage Vedavyasa from that. For centuries to come, for times to come, so long as we think of Satya Sai Speaks, so long as we think of the Vahinis, so long as we think of Satyam Shivam Sundaram, Professor Narayan Kasturi cannot be kept away from it. Let us express a deep sense of gratitude primarily to Bhagwan, the source of all the wisdom, and then also to the instrument Professor Narayan Kasturi, who brought the story of the avatar to us, who brought these wonderful gems of spiritual wisdom to us, which will definitely help us to cross the ocean of samsara and become one with our Lord. With these few words, I take leave. Sai Ram.
Thank you, sir, for making all of us aware of such untold yet profound stories, which I'm sure many of us were not aware of until today. And I'm also sure, after hearing to Sri Sanjay Sahani sir and Dr. Sri Rangarajan, we are all getting excited to know what these vahinis are all about. We're all getting excited to what this Swadhyaya is going to lead us to. And to quench your excitement, to quench your thirst, we have a very, very comprehensive presentation on the Sri Satya Sai Vahini Swadhyaya, which is going to be presented by our four brothers. The first, Dr. Amay Deshpande, who hails from Maharashtra and was a student of Sri Satya Sai Primary School, Prashanthi Nilayam, from 1990 to 1993. He acquired his bachelor's degree in commerce from Bangalore University in 2000. He served as a sevadal in the Sri Satya Sai Seva organizations from 1999 to 2003. enrolled for MBA program in finance at the Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning in 2003. Thereafter, at Bhagwan's behest, he registered for the MPhil program in 2006 and was awarded the gold medal in 2007 for distinctions in MPhil. He completed his doctoral studies in 2016 in the area of corporate strategy from the Department of Management and Commerce, Prashanthi Nilayam. He is blessed to be a member of Prashanthi Bhajan Group. Currently, he serves as a resident fellow in the newly formed Sri Satya Sai Center for Human Values. This center has been started under the auspices of the Sri Satya Sai Central Trust to conduct research and training in the field of human values. Our second brother in the presentation team is Sri Bishu Prusti, who hails from Odisha. He joined the Sri Satya Sai Higher Secondary School in 1993 for the 11th class. He went on to join the Vrindavan campus in Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning for Bachelors of Commerce program in the year 2000. After completing his MBA at Bhagwan's behest, he joined the Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Medical Sciences, Whitefield. From July 2004, he has been serving in the Radio Sai Division of the Sri Satya Sai Central Trust. He has been an active contributor to the website of the Radio Sai and for both the audio and video channels. He has also authored a book and is blessed to be a member of the Prashanthi Bhajan Group. Shri Prem Anosh is the next member of the team, who hails from Tamil Nadu. He joined the Vrindavan campus of Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning in 1999 for the Bachelor of Science course. He went on to complete his Masters of Science in Chemistry in 2004 from Prashanthi Nilayam campus. He currently serves in the Radio Sai Division of the Sri Satya Sai Central Trust and is involved in several program initiatives and content development for the Radio Sai website and audio channels. Last but not the least, our loving brother Sri Aravind Balasubramanya, who hails from Karnataka. He joined the Sri Satya Sai Higher Secondary School for the 11th class in 1998. Thereafter, he joined the Vrindavan campus of Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning for Bachelor of Science degree. In 2003, he received the gold medal for academic excellence in BSc Chemistry. After completing his Masters of Science, he went on to complete his MBA degree in 2007. At the behest of Bhagwan, he joined the Radio Sai Division of Sri Satya Sai Central Trust in 2007 and currently continues to serve there. He is an active contributor to the website and video and audio channels of Radio Sai, bringing the divine message of our beloved Lord to the thousands of devotees around the world. He has also authored 4 books. I now invite the presentation team to present the Sri Satya Sai Vahini Swadhyaya presentation.
नाहं मनुष्यो नच देव यक्षः ना ब्राह्मण क्षत्रिय वैश्य शूद्रः ना ब्रह्मचारी ना गृही वनस्थो अहम् सत्य बोधकः सत्यम् शिवम् सुंदरम् ऑफरिंग आवर मोस्ट रेवरेंशियल प्रणाम्स एट द डिवाइन लोटस फीट ऑफ आवर डिवाइन मास्टर And offering our pranams to the Swami who is seated in every heart here. Revered elders, dear brothers and sisters, a very warm and loving Sai Ram to all of you. The poem that was just recited was given to us by Swami as the opening padyam in the Mahashivratri discourse of 1970. in which he defines himself. For most of mankind, Sri Satya Sai Baba means a great philanthropist who started several hospitals, schools, colleges, water projects, housing projects, etc. For many others, he is a great inspiration who set up the Satya Sai Seva organization, which is doing monumental work. For some ignorant ones, he is a man of miracles who by the wave of his hand produced objects and simply said, cancer cancelled, and there it went. And to most of us, to all of us, he is our dear Lord and God. While all of these definitions are there, how did Swami choose to define himself? Right? That should be the most important definition for us. He defined himself as Aham Satya Bodhaka. I am the teacher of truth. And what is this truth that he came to give mankind? That is what was captured in the very first bhajan that he gave to us. Manasa Bhajare Guru Charanam Dustara Bhavasagara Taranam. That is the truth that he came to teach. And just like all teachers, this teacher also conducted classes in this very hall. This was his classroom where all his students sat. He came twice a day to conduct his classes. And in his classes, just like all teachers, this teacher too gave notes and he gave lectures. Usually in any other teacher's class, the teacher talks and the student writes. But such is the compassion of this teacher, he was not sure about our capability of writing down notes. So he said, I will also give you a lecture and I will only write also and give you the notes. Because this examination is not an ordinary one. This is Dustara Bhavasagara Taranam, a very difficult Bhavasagara to cross. And therefore he did not leave anything to chance. He said, I will only give you the notes also that are necessary for this. And that is our Vahinis. For a moment, if you think, Swami often said, my life is my message. Today when we miss his physical form, can we use the corollary of this? My message is my life. Bhagwan lives with each and every one of us. He continues to live in our hearts as long as we follow his message. If his message is there in our heart, he lives with us. So his message is his life today, and he lives through that. The Vahinis actually give us a sneak peek into the heart of God. When God comes down on mankind, on the earth, in between the entire mankind, what is it that he leaves? How does he think? What does he feel? The Vahinis capture that essence of avatar, of God on earth. It is once Swami was mentioning that there is no difference between the Gita and Krishna. The Gita has emanated from Krishna, and therefore Gita is Krishna and Krishna is the Gita. Therefore, the Vahinis are Swami and Swami are the Vahinis. They are not his gift. They are not his written word. They are Swami verily. That is the great gift that we have in the form of Vahinis. To take this a little forward and to give what is the historical evolution, of course, very beautifully told to us by Sanjay Sahani sir and Dr. Srinivas Sri Rangarajan sir. To go a little deeper into this, we have Brother Vishu who will take the presentation forward. And we also call upon your attention to the screens, because you will find something very interesting as the presentation is going on. You will see the very first Sanatan Sarthi of 1958. You will see the very written words of Bhagwan, how they look. And so I call upon Brother Vishu to take forward this historical evolution of the Vahinis.
Om Shri Sai Ram. February 29, 1958 was epoch-making. This was the holy day of Shivratri, When Bhagwan unfurled the very first issue of Sanatana Sarathi, in the very first page, Bhagwan wrote, "This day, the Sanatana Sarathi, the eternal charioteer, is on the march. March against falsehood, injustice, evil. And there is the army." Which is the Lord's army? Is it the devotees? Is it the students? Swami said, the army consists of the Vedas, the Upanishads, the Shastras. And the goal is welfare of the world. Very soon, the drums of victory will sound and resound, and there will be peace and harmony in the world. And then, Bhagwan revealed, the first 16 years of my life, as you have seen, consisted of Bala Leelas, divine sport. And then the next 16 years, as you are experiencing now, consists of Mahimas, miracles and manifestations. Swami said, these Leelas and Mahimas, miracles and manifestations will give you Santosha. Santosha is short-lived. You have to catch this and convert into Ananda. Chira sukhadayini sai janani. To help us convert this Santosha into Ananda, on the 32nd year, Bhagwan started his Upadesha, and that is how, as Sanjay Sahani sir mentioned, Bhagwan started the Sanatana Sarathi. Is it any surprise that the very first issue of Sanatana Sarathi carried Prema Vahini? Bhagwan always says, if you want to describe me, if there's one appellation for me, it is Prema Swarupa. Love is my form. And even in Prema Vahini, only in the 18th chapter of Prema Vahini, you will find elucidation of Prema. Even though the word Prema is so inviting, so endearing, so light, so pleasing to hear, but the concept of love is so deep, so dense, so difficult to fathom. Perhaps for this reason, Swami, 3 months after starting the Prema Vahini, also started Sandeha Nivarini. So here, he was the questioner as Bhakta, and he was answering the questions. So Prema Vahini and Sandeha Nivarini came as two simultaneous streams, and Swami added a third stream in January 1959, Dhyana Vahini. For 12 months, Swami wrote these three Vahinis together. It was like the gush of irresistible love for mankind flowing in the form of divine wisdom. And then came Prashanti Vahini, Jnana Vahini, the fifth anniversary of Sanatana Sarathi, 1962. Swami started Dharma Vahini, and Swami said, anyone who subdues egoism, anyone who destroys bestial tendencies, who controls his selfish desires, and does not take to the natural tendency of considering the body as his self, is on the path of dharma. Over 13 essays, Swami delineated the practical way of a dharmic life. And after Dharma Vahini, Bhagwan started Upanishad Vahini. As sir was mentioning, it stunned Professor Kasturi, the scholastic wisdom and the succinct expression of Bhagwan. 1964, Bhagwan was touring the length and breadth of Andhra Pradesh. At the same time, a beautiful environment was unfolding in Vrindavan. The Sai Krishna was now recreating his Vrindavan, and thus Sai Krishna wanted to give his message, and so started Gita Vahini. And as Gita Vahini started, Bhagwan simultaneously now started Prashnottara Vahini, knowing how people always have these questions once they start reading the Gita. 1966, Puttaparthi was separated. Prashanti Nilayam was separated from Puttaparthi. In April 1967, the first All India Conference of Satya Sai organizations was held. In November 1967, Swami went to the city of Mumbai to do the foundation stone laying ceremony of Dharmakshetra. 6 months later, Swami was in Mumbai again to open this lotus abode. 4 days later, in May 16, 1968, the first World Conference of Sri Satya Sai organizations was held. And after that, Swami was on the plane to East Africa. When Swami returned, he inaugurated the College for Women in Anantapur, immediately followed the College for Men in Vrindavan. Now the students started coming to Bhagwan, and guess the Vahini that Swami was writing now. The sweet, syrupy tale of Bhagavata Vahini, the beautiful story of the relationship between Krishna, the gopis and gopalas. And as Bhagwan started instilling in the young minds the tenets of Indian culture, Swami wrote the story of the most ideal among men in the history of mankind, Purushottama, Ramakatha Rasavahini started, and Bhagwan continued this series for 91 months, over 8 years. It was a mammoth effort. Even after Swami completed this marathon offering to humanity, Swami did not say, "Oh, I finished such a big project. Let me just take a break. I finished," just like we say, "I finished this mega service project. This weekend I will rest." Swami did not do that. The next month itself, Swami started Bharatiya Paramartha Vahini. And very soon, Swami merged Paramartha Vahini, Bharatiya Paramartha Vahini. Swami renamed it as Satya Sai Vahini. So clearly telling us that Satya Sai is nothing but the stream of Indian spiritual values which are eternal and blemishless. In Satya Sai Vahini, Swami says, there are three ways you can attain God. There are three activities that will get you the grace of God. The first, Swami says, activities which are not prompted by personal desire. Second, activities which emanate from unselfish love. Third, prayer arising from pure hearts. And then Swami said, love God. Love God seeking nothing, because anything that you get will be less than Himself. Love God with no want, no desire. That is the essence of being a Bharatiya. And as the Satya Sai Vahini concluded, we are in 1981. Bhagwan gifted the world Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning. And no prizes for guessing which Vahini Bhagwan was writing now. Vidya Vahini. And as Bhagwan was now instilling deep philosophical thoughts into the minds of the young students, Swami penned Sutra Vahini. Swami made the Brahma Sutras easily accessible to common people. 25 years had passed, 14 series had been written, 312 months had gone by, but the Lord was not done yet. 1984-85, when a beautiful Leela of Bhagwan was unfolding now, once again in Vrindavan, Swami inaugurated the Trayi Vrindavan, and now Swami started Leela Kaivalya Vahini. Even when this last Vahini concluded in October 1984, Swami's involvement in Sanatana Sarathi never stopped. He chose the editors. He was particular about the articles, and till the last year of his physical sojourn, Swami used to personally select the picture that would go with the Sanatana Sarathi. It was like it was his child. To me, the greatest and the most grandest expression of Bhagwan's love is these vainis, because these vainis, Swami said, will give us not santosha, they will give us ananda. Swami says, I give you what you want, so that one day you will want what I want to give you. But here was an occasion, even before we asked, even before we even prayed, unasked, Bhagwan gave us and continued to give us. It was a torrential flow. I feel, having got this precious treasure, we have to cherish it. We have to be eternally grateful. And most importantly, we have to practice it. Because Swami will always love us, no matter how weak we are, how faulty we are, how incapable we are. But it is up to us to see, can we bring His smile on His face? Can the loving mother look at us and feel, I have taken so much pains and thought, finally, here is someone who lived up to all the painstaking efforts I put to create this beautiful gem of creation. Let us make our Swami proud. Thank you.
...320 months... 26 years, 15 vahinis, and we were to do a presentation in 45 minutes. Definitely not fair. So while we were actually thinking about how to make this presentation, when we were ruminating over it, several intellectual frameworks came to our mind, several spiritual frameworks came to our mind, and we thought maybe we'll take this spiritual framework or that intellectual framework. But then we thought that that will still only appeal to the mind of our devotees. When Swami wrote something, it appealed to the heart of our devotees, because his was always a heart-to-heart conversation. So we thought, how to take this conversation forward? The best thing would be to actually answer the questions that we have in our heart, what trouble us, and see whether we actually get answers directly from the vahinis. So we put together a few questions. And we have some of our brothers here who are going to pose these questions. And these questions will be posed to Bhagavan. And Swami is going to answer all of these questions this evening for us. So can we have the first question, please?
Sai Ram brother, we have heard from Sri Sanjay Sahani sir and Dr. Sri Rangarajan sir tell us all about vahinis. Now, can you summarize the difference between vahinis and Satya Sai Speaks? Isn't it enough if we read Satya Sai Speaks alone?
That's a wonderful question. I'll call upon Brother Prem to take us through that.
Sai Ram, thank you for that question. The simplest answer to that, the simplest difference is, one is the written word of Bhagwan, whereas the Satya Sai Speaks is the spoken word compiled to form the books. But that is the simplest answer to give. But if we look at it from the point of view of the content, from the point of view of the literature, there is a lot of subtle difference between the two. And I think it is important to dwell on that for a couple of minutes. Sometimes when Swami would give a discourse, Swami would tell this to a few devotees, that when he takes to the podium, Swami would scan the audience and Swami would pick questions from the minds of the people in the audience and answer them in his discourse. In fact, there's a very beautiful incident, and this was the very first discourse that Swami gave in the year 1948 in the town of Karur. Swami took to the podium. First time Swami was giving a discourse. Swami gave a discourse. At the end of it, Swami said, if anybody has any questions, you can ask me. And there was pin drop silence. Later the organizers came to know that among the audience there were a few people who were rationalists, atheists, who had come with a list of questions they wanted to throw at Swami. But when Swami said, do you have any questions, there was pin drop silence, because probably in his discourse Swami answered all those questions unasked. So in that sense, if you look at Swami's discourse, the discourse is based on the audience in front of him. There are many discourses that Swami gave during certain festivals. If you go into the Satyasaya Speaks, they're very interesting references. Swami gave a discourse when the first telephone line came to Prashanthi Nilayam. Swami gave a discourse when electricity came to Prashanthi Nilayam. Swami gave a discourse when the first bank was opened in Prashanthi Nilayam. So all of these discourses are contextual. There was a festival, Swami was speaking to Sevadal, Swami was speaking to Balavikas Gurus. So the discourses can be said to be contextual, context-driven, and based on the devotees who are sitting in front of Swami. But when we look at the Vahinis were very intense, specific, focused on topics. As Brother Bishu said, when you look at all of these topics, you can make out they're all referring to one particular aspect of spiritual wisdom. There's another very beautiful thing about the Vahinis. In one of Swami's Padyams, Swami speaks about the role an avatar comes to play. And Swami would say, Yugadharma paddatul vigalitamayunda nayamarga munatrippi nadupu koraku. In every yuga, the idea of morality and dharma gets contorted. And Swami said the avatar comes to set right that idea of morality and dharma and to lead people on the right path. In the same padyam, in later lines, Swami says, Kala sandigda vigra suktulayunta bhashyartha gopyamul paluku koraku. Very beautiful words. Swami says, bhashyartha gopyamul. Many of these, you have the Prasthanatraya, you have the Upanishads, the Gita, the Ramayana. Many people have written commentaries on all of these works. But these commentaries have flaws in them because no human mind is without flaws. And when you look at the titles of the Vahinis, you will find that many of them are about established texts. There's one about the Ramayana, there's one about the Bhagavatam, about the Brahma Sutras, about the Upanishads, and there are on dharma, on vidya. So all of these are part of Swami's mission of what Swami refers to as setting right yuga dharma and to teach the subtleties and secrets in some of these scriptures and bhashyams or commentaries. The final point I would like to make is, Brother Bishu made a reference to Prema Vahini. The first Vahini Swami writes it Prema Vahini. And the word prema appears not till half the book is over. And if you think, why did Swami name it Prema Vahini then? Because whatever comes from Swami is only Prema Vahini. It is only a flow of love. If he speaks, it is out of his love. If he writes, it is a flow of his love. If he gives us his silence, that is his love. If he is angry with us, that is his love. So whatever Swami gives us, it is his love. Then what is the difference between the Vahinis and Satyasaya Speaks? I go to a doctor. I tell him, doctor, I'm not well. I have this malady. The doctor gives me two pills. Both pills have the same color, the same shape, the same size. Will I tell the doctor, they both look similar. Can't I take just one? The Swami who gave thousands of discourses found purpose in writing these 300 odd articles. Doesn't it give us enough reason that there is a purpose to them? And they play a very vital purpose in our spiritual sadhana. And that is why in spite of reading the Satyasaya Speaks, listening to Swami's discourses, the study of the Vahinis play a very vital role in our swadhyaya. Yes, can we have the next question?
That was wonderful, brother. Can you please share with us those specific points in the Vahinis which have inspired you?
So we'll ask the brothers here to come one by one and share what has inspired them about the various Vahinis that they've read.
That's a very interesting and beautiful question, because really lifetimes will not be enough to go through all Vahinis in depth. By Bhagwan's grace, we got the opportunity to go through the Ramakatha Rasa Vahini for 3 years, presenting them as programs in the afternoon satsang on Radio Sai. It was such a beautiful thing, because I personally always felt, what is there in the Ramayana that I don't know? I've heard this story so many times. I've watched the serial so many times. What is new in the Ramayana? But dear brothers and sisters, the Ramakatha Rasavahini is not just the Ramakatha, because it is the Rasavahini, the flow of the essence of the Ramayana. We have Valmiki writing the Ramayana, we have Tulsidas writing the Ramayana, we have Kamban writing the Ramayana, so many people have written the Ramayana, but I think this is very unique because we have Rama writing the Ramayana. My autobiography. And so we get, as Brother Amai said, a peep into the heart of God. Because what we think is very important, the big battle between Maricha and Subahu and Rama, where he vanquished a million demons, Swami completes it in one sentence. Rama launched an arrow and they were gone. Finished. Because I felt, you know, this is for the first time, we have always heard Rama, ekavachan, ekabana, ekapatni. One word, one arrow, one patni. It is only in Swami's Ramakatha you see that adherence. One bana, yes. One arrow and they're finished. So this kind of authenticity that comes from Ramakatha Rasavahini. I just wanted to state that to show how wonderful that is. But the personal lesson I learned from the Ramakatha Rasavahini is on how we should yearn for God, how we should seek God. And that we learn from Sita. Very beautifully some things are clarified by Bhagwan. First of all, Swami states that Maya is of two kinds. Vidya Maya and Avidya Maya. And Swami says, Vidya Maya works in sync with God. But because it has taken a role in the human form, it has to lead a life of a human form, but it will be in sync with the Lord. Avidya Maya is what possibly most of us suffer from, I definitely suffer from, where we get sucked into kama, krodha, lobha, moha, madha, matsarya, forget our divinity. So Swami clearly writes that there are points where Sita is in Vidya Maya, where Sita is Vidya Maya, and points where Sita is Avidya Maya. Swami makes it very clear, Sita is flawless, Rama is flawless. And that is why, you know, just before that golden deer episode, Swami writes, Rama calls Lakshmana and tells Lakshmana, I want some tubers, go and get roots and tubers. And as Lakshmana leaves, he turns to Sita and says, Sita, of course, these are not his exact words, but I am just, Swami says that Rama tells Sita, Sita, our time has come. Are we ready? Yes, let's go ahead with the drama. You know, that is how they discuss the plan. Say, see, if we remain in our divine self, we won't be able to do this. So Sita, please place your divinity in with the fire. You know, this is what was returned back during the Agni Pariksha. So you keep it now and come on, you behave like how a normal human will behave, because for years to come people will see us and judge us as humans. So we should set an ideal for them. I too, Sita, I will also moan, I will also cry, I will do everything that a human needs to do. Are you ready? Sita says, yes, my lord, we are ready. And then Lakshmana comes with the tubers. And then Swami tells how Sita looks. This is the Sita who said, I don't want Ayodhya, I don't want anything, I want Rama, Rama, Rama. I mean, and now she says, Rama, I want that golden deer. And Rama says, okay, I will get. But this is a lesson for us. It is not Sita's weakness. It is a lesson for me, for all of us, that see, as long as you say you want Rama, you have peace, joy, even if you are in the heart of the forest. But the minute Kama comes, small desire, it's not that God won't fulfill. Sita, you ask for a golden deer, take, I will give you the golden city. She got Lanka, but Sita was not happy. She lost all her happiness and peace. It takes just one moment of distraction. When we yearn for God, it has to be a continuous, consistent yearning. Not a Sunday morning yearning or a Thursday evening yearning. It has to be a continuous yearning. And then the final aspect, continued with this yearning only, is in the end. I would like to emphasize on this, because this was another most misunderstood part which I had never got a sufficiently good answer. I was never convinced. Whatever you may say, Rama did wrong, you know, in sending Sita. He should not have done that. People have given so many explanations. Till I read Swami's explanation. You know, Swami writes that Rama ruled for one yuga with Sita. And then one day this complaint comes. The messenger says that Rama, I'm very, very sorry to tell this, but I don't want to tell. Rama says, no, you say. And he says, no, this is how they are speaking. The next sentence Swami writes is, Rama goes to Sita and says, Sita, I am very happy with you. Though you have never asked for it, I am granting you the greatest boon. Go home. And Swami writes that Sita falls at Rama's feet and her avatar is over. That's how Swami writes in the Ramkatha Rasavahini. The Vidya Maya Sita is finished. But to teach us a lesson, Avidya Maya Sita rises now. And she says, Lord, you are very happy. Then grant me one boon. Rama says, what is that boon you want? She says, I want to see all these hermits and, you know, I want to visit hermitages. Can I go, Rama? Now, though Swami does not explicitly write this, it is again the same mistake that we do in Avidya. Having got Rama, you know, when Sita said, I want a golden deer, Rama gave the golden city. But Sita was not happy. She said, no, I want Rama, I want Rama, I want Rama. And when she yearned for Rama, Rama walked across the forest, bonded with monkeys and bears, crossed the ocean and got her. That is how the Lord will come for us if we yearn for Him. But after having done that, He goes and tells Sita, what do you want, Sita? I think the Lord expects, after having come for us, you know, He has handpicked us, He has chosen us and He has given Himself to us. And then when He says, what do you want, Bangaru? I think He expects us to say, Swami, we have you. What do we want, Swami? Instead, if we say, Swami, now that I have got you, Swami, that heart disease, little money, the travel, this is the foolishness mistake we do. And that is why Rama tells Lakshmana, take Sita to the forest. In spite of whatever she says, let her be there. But then the question, why did He punish Sita? Read the Ramkatha Rasavahini. Swami writes, when Sita is left in the forest, immediately Valmiki finds her and Sita finds great fulfillment and peace in life, talking only about Rama living amongst the most beautiful and wonderful people. In the meanwhile, Ayodhya, for reasons unknown, gets drowned into sorrow. Everybody is sad. People start dying. In fact, this is the time when Kausalya, Sumitra, Kaikeyi, all three pass away. Everyone is dejected and depressed. Swami writes, that is why Rama decides that I think I have to hold Ashwamedha Yagna, otherwise Ayodhya won't be happy. Dear brothers and sisters, whom did Rama punish? Sita or Ayodhya? Ayodhya was punished for casting aspersions on Sita. Sita was never punished because Sita had a very peaceful and happy life. This was the clarification that I got. And of course, as I said, the final point, the lesson, the take-home lesson we should keep in mind always. Never, never, ever think, now that I have got Swami, now let me try to achieve the world. It would be great foolishness. Never. It's a lifelong effort. Till we get merger, till we become Swami, our desire should be only Swami. And that is why the next time Sita meets Rama, she says, Rama, enough, no need any more of this drama. This is after Lava Kusha have defeated Rama, no? Swami writes, Sita says, enough, nothing I want. She sees Rama, just merges, goes back to earth. May we yearn for you, dear Lord, like how Sita yearned. Whether we are in Ayodhya, whether we are in Aranya, or whether we are in Lanka, surrounded by demons, let us learn that our focus should be Rama, Rama, Sai Rama. Jai Sai Rama. I'm sure different Vahinis have inspired different brothers. So, our next brother, he will share his inspiration from the Vahini.
In 1982, Bhagwan once returned to the mandir after taking a tour of the construction activities, and there was Professor Kasturi with Swami. As Swami alighted from the car, there were three elders. All of them were Murtis. Their surname was Murtis, and Swami called them to go inside the interview room. And as they were entering the interview room, Professor Kasturi also sneaked behind them, and Swami saw that and Swami stopped him. Hey, Kasturi, how are you going inside? See, all of them are Murtis. Krishnamurti, Satyamurti, another Murti. And Swami said, Nenu kuda one Murti. I am also a Murti. But you are Kasturi. And Swami said, Kasturi sir said, Swami, Nenu vaste, anni purti avutundi Swami. It will become complete. And Swami had a hearty laugh and says, okay, come in. One day Professor Kasturi, he was used to always apply this broad vibhuti marks on his forehead. Swami said, hey, what is this bandage? And Professor Kasturi said, Swami, the bandage kadu Swami, this is the one which will take me out of bondage of the birth, cycle of birth and death. When I was reading Prema Vahini, after reading 30 chapters of Prema Vahini where Swami is talking about Sahaja Manava, Sadhana Manava, the different types of sadhana, finally in the last chapter Swami says, one of the greatest virtues of a spiritual seeker is to be truthful and joyful. When the postmaster of Hyderabad came to Prashanthi Nilayam with a proposal to start a post office in this township, he said, all I need is a retired government pensioner. And when they looked around in the ashram, there was no one who could match that qualification except Professor Kasturi. Now Professor Kasturi, as we know, he was an editor, author, translator, biographer. But then he accepted the position to be the postmaster. Swami was watching this. And then Swami came to him and very mischievously Swami smiled and said, Professor Kasturi, postmaster. It's not sounding nice, no? And Professor Kasturi said, Swami, I am not any postmaster. I am postmaster of Prashanthi Nilayam. That was the enthusiasm of Professor Kasturi. When Swami had given him a room just beside the mandir. And one day in his 80s, he was just sitting in his room and playing with a bear doll. There was a waist tied to this doll and the doll was, you know, beating the drum. And as he was doing this, suddenly someone came from behind and hit and the doll fell down. And he got up startled and he looked behind and he saw Swami there. And Swami said, hey Kasturi, chusava? That is what I am going to do to you. And Professor Kasturi looked at Swami, looked at the doll that vanquished but very valiant doll which was still beating. He said, Swami, even if you do this to me, I will continue to beat the drum of your glory, your story, your mahima, just like the doll. To me, this is the crux of the Prema Vahini, which touched me deep. Swami says in the final chapter of Prema Vahini, if you are joyful, if you are enthusiastic, and if you are smiling, this is a greater sadhana than even karma and bhakti. One day, Professor Kasturi's daughter, Padma Kasturi, came to Professor Kasturi. Professor Kasturi had just returned from a lecture that he gave to foreigners. And she, the moment she saw her father, she went on a rampage. She said, Father, why do you go and give all these lectures to all these people? Swami cured this person. Swami has healed that person. Did you ever look at what is happening to your family? Your wife is paralyzed for 11 years. Your first son passed away when he was just a teenager. The other son got retired and came and we thought he will live with us. He also passed away. You are 85. Your son passed away when he was 60. And look at me. My marriage is in doldrums. I have so many marital problems. What is the fun of you going and talking about Swami? And Professor Kasturi said, Padma, you can think whatever you want to think. That is your understanding. As far as I am concerned, when Swami cures that cobbler, Swami is doing something for me only. When Swami comes to the rescue of the farmer, Swami is healing me only. I have no feeling that Swami should do something for me, my family, my people. Swami is God. Whatever He does is the best thing that could have happened to my life. I feel happy people are Sai people. And Sai people do not have to do any other work other than what is mentioned in the organization. Do the seva, do the bhajans, do the study circles. But do it with enthusiasm. Do it with joy. Do it with smile. This for me is the precious pearl that I gathered from Prema Vahini.
So can we have the next question?
Sairam brother. We are all Sai devotees and we do lot of prayer. At times, many of us feel our prayers are not answered. Can you throw some light on that?
That's one question that all of us have, right? We have come to Swami. Swami is the Supreme Lord. I have problems. He has solutions. Why isn't he giving it to me? In Swami's Satisai Vahini, there's a very beautiful chapter, which is chapter number 19, where Swami speaks about prayer. And Swami explains this whole concept with a couple of very attractive examples. Swami says, take the example of a farmer. The farmer has a lot of activities to do, you know, to prepare the field, sow the seeds, harvesting. And Swami says the farmer can do all of these karmas perfectly, diligently and sincerely, but still the results are not guaranteed. There are always factors which are beyond his efforts. So what does he do? He starts prayer. He prays for rain. Then Swami says, imagine now, let's complicate the issue a little more. The farmer has a neighbor. The neighbor is having a festival celebration in his house and he is praying to God, I've spent so much, I'm having a festival, please let there be no rain. So Swami says, whose prayer is going to be heeded by God? Then Swami gives another example. Swami says, imagine there's a king, and to the king, a subject comes and says, oh master, this is my problem. So what does the king do? Swami says, the king is supreme, the king is the lord of that realm, but what does he do? He has various departments. Tax department, medical department, you know, family issues department. So based on what the plea is, the king will send you to that appropriate department and they will have a set of rules to follow. Swami says, after all, a worldly realm has to be ruled like this. Imagine the complications of ruling this entire universe. So when you come to God and with a prayer saying that I have this health issue, I have this problem, Swami says it will be directed to the appropriate deity. And based on all the rules which have been laid down, you will be judged whether you have done things rightly and you deserve the solution that you are seeking. But Swami doesn't stop there. Swami says there are three kinds of prayers and activities and offerings that come straight to me. They don't go to any other department. They come straight to the Lord and Swami says, Nishkama Karma, action done without any desire, Niswartha Prema, selfless love, and Nirmala Hridaya Prarthana. Swami says, if your prayer is made with these three, or any one of these, I will not send it to any other department, it comes straight to me, and I have the authority to grant what you want. See, when Swami says Niswartha Prema, it is love which does not have any conditions. There's a very beautiful episode in the Ramayana, when Rama meets Sugriva for the first time and Rama establishes his divine power. We'll not go into the whole detail. When Sugriva sees what an enormous being Lord Rama is, he falls at his feet and he says, Rama, I don't need my kingdom. I don't need my family. I found the Lord. Please keep me in your service. I don't want anything else. Rama says, don't worry. I will still fight for you. I'll get you the kingdom. Then finally he goes, fights with Vali. First battle, washed out. He comes back completely battered, and he comes to Rama and says, Rama, I trusted you, what have you done to me? I trusted you and went for the fight and see what has happened to me. Then Rama very lovingly caresses his wounds, and even as Rama touches those wounds, the wounds start healing. In the next moment, Sugriva says, oh Lord, you are the Lord, the Master Supreme, I don't want the kingdom, I don't want anything, keep me at your service. And just short of saying, Swami says, and I think Swami, Rama is not telling Sugriva, Swami is telling each one of us. Swami says, this is not devotion, this is emotion. When good things happen, when enormous miracles come to your consciousness, and then you think, oh Lord, He is the Supreme, I don't want anything else. And then when troubles come, when you start saying, Swami, what have you done? That is not devotion, Swami says. That is why Swami says, Niswartha Prema is what is the true devotion. I'll probably quickly end with a beautiful episode which one devotee was once sharing. Swami called them for an interview, and this person was sitting in that interview room. And for some reason, when Swami was giving a discourse, he became very, very hungry. He tried to concentrate on what Swami was saying, but the hunger was eating him from inside. It came to a point he couldn't hear one word what Swami was saying, and he said, "Swami, when are you going to end?" And Swami looked at him. I mean, he didn't say this, it was in his mind. Swami looked at him, didn't say anything, waved his hand, materialized a sweet, gave it to everybody, and looked at this gentleman and said, "Concentrate." So if you look at this interview, what was the purpose of the interview? Was it for Swami to materialize food and settle a physical craving? Swami's act of satisfying that person's hunger was so that the person can concentrate on something that is more important. So this is not to say that Swami will not solve our problems. This is not to say that if you have problems, don't ask Swami because Swami is here only for spiritual blessings. Swami will solve our physical problems so that our mind can be quietened and we can focus on what has to be focused on. And what has to be focused on? That's what we're talking about, Swami's message. So is there any more questions? We'll ask brothers here.
Sairam brother, I have to make a confession today. So basically, I'm a very work-oriented person. And I enjoy all the work-oriented, service-oriented activities that take place. There is a friend of mine who happens to be a singer. And he immensely enjoys the bhajan sessions that take place. The problem here is none of us are that inclined towards reading such high-level philosophies. Isn't what we are already doing enough? My question to you is, what additional benefit do we get by reading the Vahinis?
So we have Arvind will take on that question.
This is a very classic case, classic question of karma versus bhakti versus jnana. I'm doing my bhajans, I'm very happy in it. Why should I go for seva? And the seva people thinking those people simply keep sitting and discussing in study circles and doing bhajans. We are the ones who, I mean, this clash is there and it's inspiring a lot of answer, but since like Swami, I cannot materialize a sweet and keep you satisfied, I'll try to keep my answer short. And Swami himself answers this beautifully. Swami says, it's not like bhakti, karma and jnana are three separate things. They're all equal. There's no difference. In fact, I'll quote exactly from Swami's Prema Vahini. Swami says, "I don't agree that dedicated action, karma, devotion, bhakti and spiritual wisdom, jnana are separate. I don't even like to classify one of these as first, second and third. I don't accept a mixture of all these three, even a merger of these three. Dedicated action is devotion. Devotion is spiritual wisdom." Swami says A equal to B equal to C. These three are equal. And even as we understand it theoretically and are finding it difficult to comprehend it, Swami comes with such a beautiful, unbelievably simple yet profound analogy. Swami says it's like a Mysore pak. A Mysore pak has weight, a Mysore pak has a shape, and Mysore pak has a taste. Each of them is absolutely unrelated to the other. What has the shape got to do with the taste? What has the weight got to do with the shape? Nothing. And yet Swami says, if you want to experience the Mysore pak, you cannot, I mean, Mysore pak, for those who are unaware, is a sweet, which I think they will show Swami holding it up. So, if you want to experience that Mysore pak, Swami says, you will have to experience a change. When you put it in your mouth, the shape will change, the taste you will experience, the weight will also change. Automatically, all three will have to get influenced. So, if we feel that I am enjoying doing seva, but I don't want to read all these high funda things, then something is wrong. It is not possible. It is not possible to experience a Mysore pak without all these three. So too, Swami says, you cannot experience the ultimate without putting efforts in all the three directions. Because in the ultimate, all three become one. So it is our duty to put efforts. Of course, we'll have preferences. I may like bhajans. I may like to do seva. I may like to read Swami's discourse and discuss it. That's possibly our preference. But we should not give up the others. For instance, we consider Mirabai as a great proponent of bhakti. But does it mean she did not have jnana? There are letters that she corresponded with Goswami Tulsidas, filled with Advaita. Speak of Adi Shankaracharya, he is considered as the greatest exponent of Advaita. He is the exponent of Advaita, a Jnani. And yet, he composed Bhajagovindam. He composed Mudakaratam Modakam. Can we say he lacked bhakti? Can we say he didn't do karma? Before the age of 32, twice he walked the length and breadth of the country. So in short, Swami tells us that if we think we can experience the ultimate without putting efforts in all the three directions, karma, bhakti and jnana, we are deluded. It is not actual progress. As Brother Bishu put it, it's only santosha. Swami would say santosha is samtosha only. We need ananda. For ananda, we need to put efforts for karma, for bhakti and for jnana. Then only we will know that we are actually progressing. Next question.
Sairam brother, I always wanted to know whether we are progressing spiritually and whether Vahinis help me in doing this. Thank you.
One day in Vrindavan, there was this senior devotee with Bhagwan. He was basking in Swami's proximity. Swami was giving him a lot of attention and he suddenly had this doubt. How close am I to Swami? Am I progressing in my path of self-realization? And the moment he had the doubt, Swami looked at him and Swami did like this. And he did not understand. Swami said, give me. You're not giving me. He said, what, Swami? Give me your mind. You want a beautiful jewel to be made, but you're not allowing the goldsmith to cut, to burn. Forget doing this. You're not even giving the gold to the goldsmith. So he thought, okay, how do I give my mind to Swami? And as an inner inspiration, he started constantly only thinking about Swami. He did that for a few years. And then he thought, have I been successful in giving my mind to Swami? Again, that doubt came. How much have I achieved in this sadhana? And then in meditation, Bhagwan gave him this answer. The measure of your bhakti is the amount of shanti that you experience in your heart. And this is what Swami has mentioned in Prema Vahini. Swami says, when your mind is focused on Sarveshwara, when you see equal love in all and live in this atmosphere of peace and happiness, you are closer to God. Thairam.
Just one last question, brother. After all that we have learned today, we are very enthused to take up the study of Vahinis. How do you study the Vahinis?
I think that's the most important question. Because we should not leave here by saying, oh, it was a nice presentation and then go back home. We should start the study of the Vahinis. When Swami writes the Gita Vahini, the very first or second line, Swami writes with what attitude the word of God has to be studied. And I think what Swami says there for Gita Vahini is appropriate even for whatever Swami has written. And there Swami gives 3 points.
The 3 points that Swami mentions are very, very critical when it comes to the study of Vahinis. He says, Pujya Bhavam, Bahya Parikshana, and Bahiranga Nirikshana. These are the 3 words that he used. What is the meaning? The first is the Pujya Bhavam, with a feeling of reverence, is how we should take up the reading of the Vahinis. The second is Bahya Nirikshana, which is a sense of patience, an attitude of patience is what is necessary. And third, he says, Bahiranga Parikshana, which is the attitude of inquisitiveness.
When you look at the first quality that Swami speaks, Swami says when you start reading the book, there should be a sense of reverence. This is the word of God. There may be things that I do not grasp. There may be things that I am not able to relate to at this point. But this is the truth. And my understanding should be converging towards what Swami is saying. And that is what Swami means, I feel, when he says you should approach it with a Pujya Bhavam.
Coming to the second, which is the word Parikshana, the sense of patience. Swami, in one of the discourses, says that when a child nirikshana, the attitude of patience. Swami, in one of the discourses, says that when a small child begins with only liquid diet, and when it has to slowly move to solid diet, it is not able to digest it. So what the mother does is it gives small little morsels of food which can start the digestion process. Swami says, take up the study of Vahini exactly like that. Don't suddenly feel that, oh, I'm inspired today. We go back after Swami's birthday celebration. I take up Upanishad Vahini or Jnana Vahini and it falls flat. It is the best medicine for insomnia. While if we can actually take up just one paragraph at a time, and little by little we are able to taste and we develop and the ability to digest what Swami is saying, I think that is what is captured in this, in the word nirikshana, which is be patient. You may not understand it. In fact, it may even make you feel a little bored when you start reading it, but continue doing it, because at some point of time that digestion process will start.
The third attribute that Swami speaks about is bahiranga parikshana. The word parikshana means to examine, to experiment. Sometimes when after Swami delivers a discourse, Swami would come and ask the elders and sometimes even students, how was the discourse? And we would say, Swami, discourse was very nice. Swami would say, I don't want your applause and praise. Swami wants it to be practiced. And when we say parikshana, that's what Swami means. Swami says, read little and try it out in your own life. There are three words in the Bhagavad Gita, jnatum, drashtum, praveshtum. And Swami would say, this is the process of learning. Swami says, first is jnatum. You first learn, you read, you gather the knowledge. The next Swami says is drashtum, which literally means try it out. See if it works. And when you have the experience after you have tried it out, Swami says it becomes a part of you, praveshtum. It enters your being, Swami says. And that is the third thing that Swami says, bahiranga parikshana.
There's one beautiful quote here that I would like to make when it comes to study circles. Did you know that Swami has in fact given us exactly how to conduct a study circle? And that is something that I would like to read. Swami says, I am not for indiscriminate reading of books, however valuable they may be. Much reading confuses the mind. It fosters argumentation and intellectual pride. What I insist upon is putting things read into practice, at least a thing or two. So, can we take this, the ability to read, and when we read, we just don't do a passive reading, but we actually do an active reading. When we take a particular Vahini, can we make notes out of it? That is the difference between passive reading and active reading. Passive reading would be to take a book and as we sleep, you know, there are so many other problems that we've had in the day, we want to somehow let go of that, and so we take a Vahini and start reading. Swami would say, take a book and a pen and try to underline what are the most important words. Probably only one word may come in one reading of 15 or 20 minutes. But eventually, after a week of reading, a lot of clarifying, a lot of clarification comes to us. That is how we can do this reading. Those were some of the thoughts that we thought when it comes to how to read the Vahini. We all know, we have all heard about the most beautiful things about the Vahini, the amount of effort that Swami put in for us to read. He wrote for 26 years. Can we read for 26 days? That is the challenge that probably we can put to ourselves. That for a Lord who gave so much of his time, I'll request Brother Prem to end it on that particular note, that beautiful thought of what that Vahini means to us.
When you love someone, when you want to gift something to someone, I think all of us have been in that position. We would go out and buy something and give, maybe for a few hundred rupees or whatever is the cost. But the true gift that one person can give another is the gift of time. If I give 5 minutes to a person I love, I have given 5 minutes of my life. And when we say Swami wrote these Vahinis for 26 long years, Swami has put 26 long years of his life into these Vahinis. And he has gifted that to us. Many, many times when we were students, all of a sudden an announcement will be made in the hostel. Swami is distributing clothes. Swami wants to give watches. This is the season, birthday season. Swami would definitely want to come early and start distributing something. And the moment that announcement is made, we would come running like horses all the way from the hostel. And here is Swami. He's holding out the vahinis to us. He is giving. Will we be seated there and say, Swami, I'm too tired to get up and come to you and receive this? When Swami is giving something, will we not be the first person there to receive it? This is the gift of Swami's own life. If not now, when will we outstretch our hands to receive this blessing?
For is it not, he said, when he said, I have come to give you what you want so that one day you will want what I have come to give. What is it that Swami wanted to give? He has given us everything that we asked for. For once, on this occasion of the 94th birthday, let us ask Swami, Swami, what is it that you came to give us? Let us want that. And what he wanted to give us are these vahinis, are his messages. As Professor Kasturi beautifully writes, this is not a book. The vahini is not a book. The vahini is a balm. A balm that we will apply to cool, to comfort, and to cure the maladies. Dear brothers and sisters and dear elders, respected elders, when we read the vahini, we read Swami. When we think about the vahini, we think Swami. When we embrace the vahini, we embrace Swami. Thank you, Sai Ram.
Indeed, I must confess that today's evening is like coming together and planning the birthday party of Bhagwan on the 95th birthday next year. This is the meeting today where all of us have come together and planned what we are going to give Bhagwan next year. Dear brothers and sisters, indeed today is the day when we must pray to Bhagwan and offer our hearts to him. And the Sri Satya Sai Seva Organization India definitely plans to ensure that for the next 5 years, we urge every devotee, every member of the organization to sincerely draw inspiration from today's session and embark upon the Sri Satya Sai Vahini Parayanam that we start from today. As all our brothers mentioned, the three wings of the organization are the Mysore Pak together. And we have learned the lesson today, and thanks to our brothers, and I'm indeed grateful to the Radio Sai, the director of Radio Sai, the registrar of the university, for sparing such jewels from their departments to share with us and unfold the glory of the Sri Satya Sai Vahini. We're indeed grateful to Bhagwan for giving us this opportunity. And this, I must conclude with one prayer. That all the students of Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba from the Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning, from all the schools, from all the colleges, and all the children who pass out from the Sri Satya Sai Bal Vikas movement are indeed people who should be spanning all over the world to spread the message of Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba. And that is really the white army that Bhagwan spoke of. We pray to Bhagwan that he blesses all of us on this occasion. And I think it's a lovely way to end today, by the beautiful song that Bhagwan himself wrote, Anandam, Anandam, and Anandam. Thank you.
Sitara. Bhajaman Sitara.
Thank you. Sai Ram, invoking Bhagwan's divine blessings. As a part of ongoing festivities at Prashanti Nilayam, where we are celebrating the 94th year of divine advent of our most beloved Bhagwan, Sri Satya Sai Baba, tomorrow the significance of Narayana Seva, Laksharchana and the path of Prema as elucidated by our beloved Bhagwan will be highlighted. Tomorrow's morning session in Sai Kulwant Hall will commence at 8 o'clock with Veda chanting offered by the All India Vedam Group. At 8:15, there will be a talk titled Narayana Seva, a sadhana dearest to our Lord. After the talk, we'll be blessed with Bhagwan's divine discourse followed by Laksharchana proceedings. The morning session in Sai Kulwant Hall will conclude with bhajans and Mangalarti, followed by Bhagwan's Divya Darshan. The evening session in Sai Kulwant Hall will commence at 4:30 with Vedam chanting offered by All India Vedam Group. At 4:50, we will have introduction to the evening session where three speakers will address us on the topics Start the day with love, followed by fill the day with love and end the day with love. This session will conclude with summary presentation and introduction to the theme song on Start, fill and end the day with love. The evening session in Sai Kulwant Hall will conclude with bhajans and Mangalarti, followed by Bhagwan's Divya Darshan. Jai Sai Ram.
Om Shri Sai Ram. Bhagwan Shri Satya Sai Baba Vari Divya Anugraha Asisulato Swami Vari 94va Divya Avatarana Vedukallo Bhaganga Sai Kulwant Sabha Mandapamlo Repati Udaya Karyakramalu 8 గంటలకు వేద పఠనంతో ప్రారంభం అవుతాయి. 8:15 నారాయణ సేవ స్వామివారికి అతి ప్రీతికరమైన సాధన అను అంశంపై ఒక ప్రసంగం ఉంటుంది. 8:30 స్వామివారి దివ్య సందేశం. తదుపరి శ్రీ సత్యసాయి అష్టోత్తర శతనామావళి లక్షార్చన పూజ. రేపటి ఉదయ కార్యక్రమాలు భజనతో కొనసాగి మంగళ ఆర్తితో సమాప్తమవుతాయి. అనంతరం స్వామివారి దివ్య దర్శనం. సాయి కుల్వన్ సభా మండపంలో రేపటి సాయంకాల కార్యక్రమాలు 4:30 వేద పఠనంతో ప్రారంభమవుతాయి. 4:50 స్టార్ట్ ద డే విత్ లవ్, ఫిల్ ద డే విత్ లవ్, ఎండ్ ద డే విత్ లవ్ అను అంశాలపై 3 ప్రసంగాలు ఉంటాయి. తదుపరి ఈ 3 అంశాలపై జరిగిన ప్రసంగాల సారాంశము సమర్పించబడతాయి. అనంతరం స్టార్ట్ ద డే విత్ లవ్, ఫిల్ ద డే విత్ లవ్, ఎండ్ ద డే విత్ లవ్, దిస్ ఇస్ ద వే టు గాడ్ ఆధారముగా నేపథ్య గానము స్వామివారికి సమర్పించబడుతుంది. రేపటి సాయంకాల కార్యక్రమాలు భజనతో కొనసాగి మంగళ ఆర్తితో సమాప్తమవుతాయి. అనంతరం స్వామివారి దివ్య దర్శనం. జయ సాయిరాం.